and say, Lord, we don't want you to stop there. You said you heal, so we want that. How many have ever experienced a healing in your body from the Lord? It was not just medicine. Because medicine right now is not out to heal you. It's just out to control your symptoms because they can't do nothing about much. How many have ever received a miracle that shouldn't happen? Science, it totally defied science. It was totally beyond anything natural. And it happened because of Jesus. And see, that's because when we know him, when we know him, we get closer to him. And the closer we get to him, the more we can know him. I am saddened by the fact that there are so many people, even in church, that are not spirit, soul, and body. They're just soul and body. See, because you, when you get spiritually connected, let me go somewhere. Brother Cornelius worked a lot in electric. And Brother Cornelius, can you tell when something's alive or dead in electricity? You get shot. Your little indicator light will go beep, beep, beep. And if you don't listen to the indicator, you'll go beep, beep, beep. Hallelujah. You can always tell when power's flowing. And see, the Lord's power is the power of life, and it's spiritual. The Lord Jesus said this in John 6 and 63. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That when we hear the words of Jesus, something happens spiritually and something happens with life and living. He said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're serving a risen Savior, a loving Savior, a Savior that has life and power, and his name is Jesus. As you put up the front on there, I just want to say just a little bit here. And this is, there were some folks that hung out with Jesus and they got to see him. We're folks that hang out with Jesus, we're going to get to see him. There's some rare people that have seen, and the Lord has revealed himself. But there was a bunch of disciples, and they'd been with the Lord for years. And Philip said, as the Lord was talking about the Father, he said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Show us who the Father is. And the Lord Jesus said to them, Philip, how long have you been with me and you still don't know? See, he was supposed to have a revelation when walking with Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's supposed to be a revelation when you're walking with Jesus. That through Jesus, you get to the Father. For it is God the Father who sent his Son to us. Turn to somebody and say, revelation starts with God. I looked it up in Webster's and others. It says revelation is not just some aha moment. Revelation has an total definition that came from something divine has opened up your understanding to something you did not know before and could not know on your own. Let me say that again. That something and or somebody divine has opened up your understanding to something you could not know on your own or did not know before. How many knows that when you try to describe God without him telling who he is, you get religion and you get false gods? But when you get the maker and the creator of us reveal to us who he is, tell somebody, then you're never the same. The trouble is with spiritual folks is they've had a revelation of something that other folks don't have. And other people are trying to scramble with their mind to try to figure out. And it does not make sense to a spiritual one who does not have a spiritual connection. And you can only get the spiritual connection through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get the spiritual connection through Muhammad. You cannot get the spiritual connection through humanism. You cannot get the spiritual connection through any other religion. You can only get that spiritual connection through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one in God's anointing. There is no other name by which that men can be saved. And saved means that you are saved from sin and now bought back, redeemed, justified, sanctified. All you had to do was say, yes, I believe, and I give my life to you. And he said, I'll change you, inherit you, put you into the lineage of my family. But first, I got to connect, get you connected to my spirit. Because if you're going to have my DNA and I am a spirit, you must also have spirit. And so I will connect you in the spirit, and my power will flow through you. My anointing will flow on you. My power, my healing, my deliverance, my miracle power will flow through you. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will raise the dead in my name. You will cast out devils in my name. You will speak with new tongues in my name. You will tread upon serpents and scorpions. I will give you my name when you're connected to me. Somebody say, shout, I'm connected to Jesus. Now, just because you plugged in that toaster last Sunday and unplugged it on your way out of church doesn't mean it's going to work all through the week. Turn to somebody and say, stay plugged in. Keep checking in, because there's a reason. I want to go through a couple slides and then go to something real quick. Praise the Lord. And I'll hit the word of God. Nelson Mandela, that great man that they could not stop, imprisoned and tortured and could not stop him, said this. Next slide, please. There can be no keener revelation, no clearer, keener revelation of a society's soul than the way in which it treats its children. You can tell the status of the soul of society by what they do with their babies, by what they do with their unborn and their born. If they throw them to the wolves of the adversary and chaos and do not give them the loving protection and allow a child, they got on to somebody one time, very famous person, and said, why don't you just let the child choose for himself? He said this, children do not have the understanding nor the capability. They will completely go after that which is shiny and glittery, not seeing the hook nor having the wisdom of the hook that's in it until it's too late. It is up to the adults who have already been through something, know something, and know that there is a trap. Not everything shiny is good for my child. I will protect my children. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will stand up. I am not going to stand idly by and be a sissy parent who doesn't stand up for that which is right by my child. I will not allow you to have toxins and pollute my children's minds until they do not even know their identity given by God. Because if they don't know their identity, they'll not be able to find themselves nor find their way. The devil is a liar. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. He has known us in the womb, and he knows us outside the womb. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the way and the one who gives us the purpose of life itself. So I thank Mr. Mandela for those words of wisdom. Another man said, truth is never determined by a majority opinion, but by divine revelation. Just because you voted for something to vote God out of America doesn't mean you got any type of revelation whatsoever. We're constantly trying to evolve into some greater humanity, but you cannot get there without God. You cannot grow without God. You can only spiral down into chaos and to evil without the Lord. Because you see, there is a great gap. When man sinned, there became a great gap in their spirit. For without a spiritual
connection to the one who made them. They will constantly be in search for something to fill what they cannot without the Savior. Only by the Savior can you fill the gap. You can't fill it with drinking. You can't fill it with drugs. You can't fill it with sexual perversion. You can't fill it with pride, fill it with money. You can't fill it with anything, because it's a spiritual problem that started with a sin problem. But the Lord sent a perfect son to deal with the sin and bring us back to spiritual answer. Somebody say, yes, Lord. So say, I get truth when I get divine revelation. Next, please. Learning comes from education, while knowing comes from revelation. Learning is cognitive skill, while knowing is a spiritual skill. Some people say, did you learn that? No, I know that. I didn't learn that. I know that. See, this is the danger of people being in church and only learning the letter of the law of the Bible and not knowing the Spirit is that which giveth it life. Hallelujah. Say, I want the living word. Hallelujah. See, I can know some stuff, but I can know it by education. I can know it by recall. I can know it by cognitive. But if my spirit's not engaged, even the college that I went to right here in town said that we have a problem. We have a dilemma in that we can teach and give all sorts of diplomas to people, but until they have a spiritual connection. Now, it is not our part to tell them what that spiritual connection is, because we are a place of learning, of education. But we recognize that without a spiritual connection, they will have no purpose. They will have no plan for life. They will have no outcome. We can give them the training in a particular field, but until they have the spiritual connection, they'll have no drive, no passion for the things that they've learned. People, too many people say, who am I? Where did I come from? Thus then they say, where am I going? And who will I become? What is my purpose? And what am I to accomplish? See, that gaping hole leaves them wondering. Because you see, you cannot know who you really are till you know who God is. Amen. When you have a revelation of knowing who God is, He will tell you who you are. Because when you get in that kind of agreement, then anybody else can come along and say, you ain't that. Say, you know what? You don't get to say that. Because my Father named me. My Father gave me my purpose in Christ Jesus. Now, if that doesn't convert through your spirit into your mind, you will have a war in your mind all the time. The war with your past, the war with what other people's seeds and lies and things that they put inside your mind. And then you will have a struggle with trying to be everything and whoever that you are, because you have not to do a lot of spiritual transference of data. We're endeavoring to do a lot of things through our live streaming, and we capture the service on digital platform, and it's on hard drive. But see, if you don't have a way to transfer it from the hard drive into a place where other people can be blessed by it, once the moment's over, it's over. Turn to somebody and say, you got to have a capturing mechanism and a converting it mechanism. Once I have a spiritual connection of knowing, I need to know how to convert it into my mind. I need to know how to convert it into my life. Because so many people come into church and they think church is just to learn some principle how to improve my life. No, church is where the body of Christ is gathering together in worship to hear a word from God that transforms your life so that you can be a blessing to someone else and they can come to Christ. Ooh. Okay, all right. I'm going to go to the next one. Another man says this, I'd like to propose to you that revelation is not the product of laborious study, but it is the fruit of friendship with God. Revelation is friendship with God. Matter of fact, he said that when you come nigh unto me, I'll come nigh unto you. And when you invite me in, that I and the Father will come in and we will abide with you. And we will show you who we are. We will reveal ourselves to you at a level beyond just the normal I went to church for 45 minutes and now I went home and do my own thing. Oh, I'm preaching beyond our congregation because we got folks in here live 24/7. The world would try to conform you. You need something higher than their confirmation and their conforming power. You need a transformer hooked up in your life called He, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, that transforms you. And when the Word of God goes in, it renews your mind. Brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Come and worship unto the Lord. Therefore, you will know that that's your reasonable service. But be ye transformed and not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the Spirit, by the Word, in the renewing of your mind. That happens by the Word of God. Somebody say, my friendship with God will produce more revelation. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. And could we stand for the reading of the word, Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. This is the account of a Christian murderer going around putting Christians in jail and murdering them. And the Bible reads, and let us read together. This will be in the New Living. Let us begin now. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, Saul, if you understand Saul, who became Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, you will understand that he is a well-educated man. It is known that he speaks at least 5 or 6 languages fluidly. He is an intellectual. He is a person high up on the IQ chart. He has been raised in Judaism. He has been raised by Galileo himself, which was the highest teacher of that day. He was raised in all of the things, all the customs, all the procedures, who God was, the Torah. Everything that came up, he knew everything that was there. And he looked through all of that religious education and through all of that intellect and through all of that understanding. And he said, them folks that follow Jesus got to be killed. And so we got folks in America, and they'll say, I'm from this and I'm from that. And if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they're going to be out to try to kill everything that belongs to Jesus. Well, they could be from Harvard, they could be from Yale, they could have umpteen numbers of educational things, been in politics for 42,000 years and need to remove them out of office because they've been there too long. But they will try to kill everything that is Jesus without a relationship with the Lord. Say they go to church, say they're religious, doesn't matter. Here he is, here he is. Here he is. The Lord is going to be up with the Father, and we've got the apostles, and the enemy raises up a religious guy who is full of murder and hate. He is of zeal for his own cause, but it's turned him to be very ruthless. He himself had gone to the leaders and said, give me papers. I'll do your dirty work. I'll crush them out. I'll flesh them out. I'll jail them. I'll persecute them. And people were afraid. Afraid because of people were crying out, Lord Jesus, won't you do something about this? Lord Jesus, won't you do something about this man? This man is throwing, he's thrown my relatives. He's caused havoc in Jerusalem. He's caused havoc in Judea. And now he's headed up to Damascus, and he's found out that there's a bunch of folks ran up there to worship Jesus. So he's going to go up there and going to round them up and going to persecute them. But Jesus showed up. But Jesus showed up. See, right here, this man is going to have a revelation that will change and transform his life. It is going to be instantaneous. It is going to be so powerful that it's going to change his course. He's not going to need to be delivered from a murderous spirit. He's going to be delivered on the spot. He's not going to be needing 55 prayer warriors and 84 hands laid on him and 16 years of processing to come to an understanding of a spiritual connection. For when the Lord revealed himself, This man of intellect, wait a minute, somebody invisible is speaking to me. All I see is a bright light and hear a voice. The folks that are with me are so scared they're hiding over in the rocks because they saw the light and heard something say something from somewhere. And they're like, he didn't say it to them because he wanted to speak it to you. But he left a sign and a wonder for others to hear that something supernatural was happening. And the Lord showed up brighter than the midday sun. And the Lord caused something to happen in Saul's life. And he won him personally. Jesus Christ is the greatest soul winner that has ever walked this planet. And he can save somebody.
Saul wasn't in church that day. He was taking his Sabbath time to go try to destroy somebody else's life. But the Lord Jesus showed up, and then he had the wisdom and the intellect to say, if there is somebody who can turn on a light so bright it's brighter than the sun, and there's somebody who can speak to me invisibly that I cannot see, this is something beyond me. He says, he didn't say, who are you? Hey, buddy, who are you? He said, who are you, Lord? Because he knows that that kind of supernatural only comes from the God he studied about. That kind of supernatural only comes from the very maker of time, the friend of Abraham, the one who walked into the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children. He knows all the writings. This is the one whose face shone brighter. Moses' face shone brighter. Who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. He clarifies something, that when others tried to persecute you for Jesus, Jesus said they're really persecuting me that's in you. And see, when you're spiritual and you're connected, the Lord shows up. Just like last week, we saw that God will go before you. There must have been some praying prayer warriors in Damascus. I know there is, because the Lord's going to invoke one of them to come pray for the very one that was sent to murder him. Ananias, a regular churchgoer, a person who shows up to prayer meetings. Now, I'm not talking about the ones who never show up to no prayer meetings because they ain't got no prayer. I'm talking about Ananias, a prayer warrior. He knew the Lord. He prayed in his prayer closet and knew the voice of the Lord. He prayed with the church. He prayed and he was praying. He wasn't a five-fold ministry preacher. He was a prayer warrior. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. He was a prayer warrior. Why was he a prayer warrior? Because he was a believer in Jesus. Why was he a prayer warrior? Because he was a disciple of Jesus. Why was he a prayer warrior? Because he's in love with Jesus. Why was he a prayer warrior? Because he talked to the one he loved and knew the one he loved talked to him. Aren't you glad that you could talk to the one you love and he loves you, and you can pray and he hears your prayer and will answer? And so Saul, he just simply gets this: I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And the Lord says, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. No committee meeting. Oh. This is not American. This causes Americans to go all crazy. Can't tell me what to do. This statement is from the supernatural risen Savior. He tells Saul the problem. You've been persecuting me. Now get up and go in to the city and I'll tell you what you must do. I got you, bud. I got your number. Why do you have his number? Because Saul recognized the supernatural and humbled himself enough to say, who are you, Lord? And Lord means I'm now your servant. Jesus must become your Savior and your Lord. That means you got a different kingdom attitude and not an American attitude. See, an American attitude, That's what's happening in our culture. Oh, command something? Do something? See, these are folks that need to go through the military. They'll at least get a smidgen of a revelation. That when, they got to pass out all sorts of stuff now, that when the sergeant gets into your face, stand up straight, you're crooked. They hold up a little, you're too loud, could you? And they got a little stress card, you're going to cause me psychological damage. Just raise up out of the grave all of our World War II vets, the greatest army that ever repelled back the Nazis and the Japanese. Just raise them up out of the grave and let them take a few of these young people that have that attitude out and have a private boot camp. And you can say they're old fogies, but them 90-year-olds have more respect and know more about what needs to be done than folks today. I don't need a military that when somebody from Russia or China points a gun at them, they'll hold up a stress card. It's too much confrontation. They'll pull a bullet right between your forehead, between your eyeballs. Oh, that too rough? Let's just take them to sports because I'm going to prophesy to you. See, while we're praying for morality to come back into America, they're going to run into the money machine. Because you can only take so much of this garbledygook in sports before it starts putting towards the who runs the money. And who runs the money is going to fight back against this kind of junk. Just let two demons come up against each other. The one who has the most authority and has the most people working for him and has the most power is going to win that battle. All right, for those that don't know, see me after church. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Because it could get me throw it off of meta. We're going to stand for what's right. Period. Point blank. Say, well, you're too rough. See, I'm going to tell you something, that if all we reduce Elijah to is the friendly prophet and Elisha to the pansy prophet and Jesus to the wimpy savior, we have already lost the entire battle. I will not demasculate Jesus. They tried that. Oh, I'm almost in my resurrection message. Let me stay over here in the Old Testament for a moment so I don't get to Resurrection Sunday. Just try to emasculate Elijah. Fire from heaven. Oh, man of God, we've got orders of the king to come get you and arrest you. Oh, man of God, we come for orders of the king. You better come with us. Crispy, crunchy people all over the place. It wasn't until the captain bowed on his knees and said, oh, please, for the life of myself and my men, please, man of God, have mercy upon us. For we have been sent by that evil king to come to you. You got power in God. We got bureaucracy. Our lives are in your hands. A war soldier knew that there was power from heaven he'd had seen. Boom, boom, boom. After 150 people, three times, three strikes come down. And they say, a fire from heaven don't happen very often. It just happened three times in an hour and a half. I don't want to be number four. I believe there's somebody up there that you know. Have mercy on me. And the Lord said, you can trust him. You can go with him. Elisha runs into an entire army. Elisha, the double portion of Elijah. Runs an entire army. Who are you looking for? We're looking for a man of God named Elisha. We come to get him. Entire army. Blind them, Lord. They all got blinded. So they said, what's happening? What's happened? We can't see. Oh, you can't see? Oh. Well, let me lead you where you're trying to find who you're trying to find. And he leads the blind army
into the city and gets them surrounded by the ones on his side. And then he says, now, Lord, open their eyes. And the king says, should we shoot them all? Should we kill them all, slay them all? No, let's show them mercy. They tried to come after him again. He was in prayer, y'all. So the enemy didn't, after meeting him up straight up, that didn't work. He waited till he was in prayer, thought he could sneak up on him. I'm talking about don't demasculate the things that way, because God is not wimpy and he is not to be messed with that way. He is a great God. He is a mighty God. But you got to know him. You got to know how he operates. You got to know his mind. Let me just find some. So Elisha said, his servant comes in, Elisha, Elisha, man of God. Ah, the army's outside, got the house surrounded. And he said, oh Lord, the servant who has disrupted my prayer with you, open his eyes. Go back and look and see what's going on. I got an appointment. I don't care if they show up and surround me. I got an appointment with the God that can take care of that. Amen. And the servant goes out. Man, something's happened with my eyes. I still see the enemy. But on the ridge, all around, is chariots of fire with angels on them. And there is more for us than be against us. It was a revelation of what really that man of God had with God Almighty. That's why I say Elisha was a bad dude. Elijah, his predecessor, gets picked up by one chariot. Elisha has a whole company of chariots surrounding him. Somebody said, just like Brother Shambach said, you got more power than the devil. You got trouble, you think. No, all you need is faith in God. Spiritual connection. So Saul is blinded. He's got to get to the city to be told. God takes the prayer warrior and says, get over there. I got Saul of Tarsus waiting for you to pray for. Now, Lord, that's the guy coming to murder us. Ananias, I got you. Go do what I told you. Ananias gets up. His flesh was in fear. But his spirit had to be over top of that fear. Saul, the Lord who you saw in the way, because see, the Lord showed Ananias exactly what happened. The Lord you saw in the way has sent me this day to pray for you so that you can do the Lord's work. Laid hands on him and the scales fell off. That is the fastest cataracts on, cataracts off that I've ever seen. And right then, he was baptized, not only in water, but then baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Saul then goes to be the one we know as Apostle Paul, who they stone him and he gets back up. They whip him and he gets back up. They imprison him and he gets out. They shipwreck him and he survives. Snakes bite him and he survives. He goes on. Wherever he goes, it's a revival or a riot. So many devils want to kill Paul. Said, when I've finished my course, then you can have my head. Boy, that just is a whole lot different than wimpy, 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 squeeze the Charmin Christianity. But God is raising up more than a remnant. God is raising up a people. He's bringing the body of Christ together. Folks that got each other's back. I'm seeing more preachers who know the voice of God getting more empowered. The pandemic shredded us apart so that we could not fellowship and could not be together and forced us upon our knees to pray to God for more. And now that when we're coming back, look out, fire and glory. And now when we're coming back, something even greater is taking place. And the ones that are being led by the Spirit will be called for such a time as this. Let us look at my next slide. A revelation is to be received as coming from God. Not because of its internal excellence. Or because we judge it. Yeah, the next one after that. Or we judge it to be worthy of God. Let me start it over so we get it good. A revelation is to be received as coming from God. Not because of its internal excellence, that we processed it cognitively and intelligently, nor that we got a chance to judge it as to whether it's God or not, and whether it's worthy of God, but because God has declared it to be His in as plain and undeniably a manner as He declared creation and providence to be His. Well, that's an old time man. It's revelation from God because God declared it undeniably His word. Ooh, turn to somebody and say, yes and amen. Next, God's revelation is in the gospel. Not only reveals who He is, but it also reveals who we are. Let's take a look at my last scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you might have to blow it up on a couple other screens. I was rushing, but I'm going to speak it. Paul says to the Corinthian church is bogged down with so much false gods in the land of Corinth. There is so much garbage going on. For them to be saved, it has to be thoroughly supernatural. And you can look this up. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and through 15, 16 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world know. How many of the princes of this world know it? None. For had they have known this wisdom and revelation, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have known what God was up to, they'd have tried to mess up the plan. But the Lord held His plan in a mystery so that other people wouldn't know it. Say, God has designed some things for people not to know. Jesus, why do you talk to them in parables? Because they have ears and they don't hear, and they have eyes and they don't see, because their heart is far from me. But you that have a heart for me, I will open up your eyes and open up your ears, and you'll be able to understand. Here is the revelation and the revealing of the mystery of this parable. This you need to know, because upon this is all the rest of my teaching. If you understand and hear the revelation, understand it. Hear the revelation and understand it. Grab it spiritually and understand it, then you'll know everything that I'm talking about. So Paul goes on to say, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That was verse 9. Prepared for, not for haters, not for those that are scoffers, for those who love Him. When you fall in love with Him, there's some stuff other eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, they haven't even got it recorded, but the Lord's got something just for you. How many are in love with the Lord? God's got something for you. It says, but God, verse 10, but God hath revealed these things unto us by His Spirit. How? By His Spirit. Somebody shout, by His Spirit. God reveals by His Spirit. Let's read on, because he is going to explain this out. Paul is, this was Saul, remember, that was on the road, and now he is fully anointed. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the capital S Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. Somebody say, go deeper. Holy Spirit, all things and the deep things. Right? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If you're not connected to the Spirit of God, you will have no clue of what God has said about you. And the more you have a relationship with God, say, why do you need all that prayer? So you don't get confused. Why do you need all the time with God? So you learn his presence. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to be with the one you love and the one's going to tell you everything? When the world tried to destroy you, tried to mess you up, tried to spit you out as junk, and God's got all the good stuff for you, why wouldn't you want to talk to the God who has all the good stuff for you? Woo! Number 12. Now we have received not the little s spirit of the world, because little s spirit can be demons, can be all sorts of chaos and evil and stuff, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know something, because the Spirit reveals, you get to know something. Somebody say, because the Spirit reveals, you get to know something. Now, before I read the rest of this, I want to insert something right here, that a revelation that you then get, if you don't manifest it in your life, it is proof you rejected it. See, you can store up knowledge. My son says that sometimes I'm like a walking encyclopedia of stuff. Just ask Dad, because I did a lot of research, because I had a bunch of folks tell me I don't know. And so if I don't know, I better find somebody. If I don't have connections with somebody who does know, I go out and try to find somebody to know. And so Google has become my friend. But Google's not my God. And I can know a whole lot of information and know how things work, but it takes a time when to apply it, and I can share it with somebody. But revelation, that gear of revelation, I automatically want to operate in that revelation. Ask me why. Because when it happens, there's so much wow factor from God. What? Really? Wow! You mean our blessed sister can come down here in less than 90 seconds, get baptized in the Holy Ghost without three classes on what it is and who it is? That in prayer meeting, Brother Quinn can get over here praying to the Lord and get baptized, and nobody had laid hands on her to get baptized in the Holy Ghost just like that? What? You mean to tell me that what God's done for me, I can lay hands on somebody else? Oh, that means that if I was delivered from depression, I can go around depressed people and not get pulled back into depression, because I've overpowered it through Jesus. Now I am free. There's a residue anointing that be now that I have come out of, I can step into something and pull them out of. See, if you go in with sinners and fall in with sinners, you don't have the revelation. You've not conquered it. You don't have the revelation. When you have the revelation that, hey, wait a minute, that person is up here for the same thing I got healed from 7 years ago. Apostle, prophetess, I'm a G3. I'm a G3. I'm going to stand right up here, but I'm going to pray for them too, to have exactly what God did for me. Amen. Oh, then the revelation. What? In the parking lot of Walmart? I can run into somebody and say, oh, I've just been going through. You know what? The Lord healed me from that 5 years ago. Do you want me to pray that the Lord heal you from that? Because I'm getting phone calls that folks cannot afford $3,000, $6,000, $9,000, $10,000 in medical bills, and the doctor tell them, we still don't know what's wrong. God had me prophesy many decades ago. There's coming a day where you'll trust God or die. You'll have to trust God. Well, I could.
They're going to send new nanobots up and heal me.
Jesus is still the healer. And we've got proof right here in this place. Somebody say, I don't believe it. They'll say, I don't believe it. You say, you just don't know. Because when you get this revelation, you'll know something. You don't have a revelation. I don't believe in God. You just don't know. You don't have a revelation. See, because you see, when you know God, and you spend time with God, your sensitivity to the mind of God comes open. Yes. See, because connection must have communion. Connection must have communion. Communion is the personal level. Connection is the power level. Then with through communion, you start thinking alike. So it goes from communion to consciousness. You become less self-conscious and more God-conscious. That means the mind of Christ is upon you. See, as long as you're, I'm getting knocked around. Well, put your helmet on. Amen. The mind of Christ will protect you from getting your mind slapped around. And if it's still trying to say, I'm going to get that lie out of there. That lie is getting out. Don't belong in the mind of Christ. Getting out of here. Squish, boom. I am who God says I am. I'll be everything who God says I'll be. I am becoming everything God says I can become. I am doing everything God says I can do. And I'm having everything God says I can have. Let's read the scriptures on because he's got a real good teaching here. Now, verse 12 again. For we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. No. Somebody go. Know these things that are so freely given of us from God. Which things also we speak. Not in the words of man's wisdom do we teach. So I'm not going to be relevant to man's wisdom. For God's simplicity and God's foolishness confounds even the wisest men. How can you tell somebody that has a broken leg dance? Holy Spirit spoke into my ear in Texas. Lady with a body cast all the way up, 3.5 years after her leg was broke, multiple surgeries, and still wouldn't graft, did bone graftings, couldn't get it to go in. She comes to the revival, and she comes down. How long can you stand? I can't stand very long. I'm in pain. So they brought a chair up, so on and so forth, and said that we might have to put her there. I said, no, and I'm going to pray for you. After that, I went over here and prayed for somebody else because I had to work up my faith. And the Lord said, I told you to pray for her. Tell her she's going to dance. My mind was fighting with me because how do you tell a woman in a full cast she gonna dance? In a cast. Don't make no sense. No sense at all. Golly jeepers. God said, I told you, tell her what I told you. And then while I'm walking, he said, tell her, I've had enough. She's going to dance. Enough prayers had gone up. And God said, I've had enough. It's time for the movement. I come on and I said, God just said, I've had enough. You're going to dance. Laid hands on her. Out she went in the spirit. And the devil jumped up, tried to jump up. That don't look like dancing. You know, you want to know what to do when that happens? Flick him right off your shoulder. The anointing was so incredible. I went praying for everybody else. Folks, the things that happened. All of a sudden, I turn around, and the lady's standing back up. And I run over here, and I said, what's going on? She said, I've been waiting here without pain for 15 minutes for you to get over here, preacher, so I could tell you what the Lord did. Come on. Said, when you laid hands on me, fire went from the top of my head all the way down my leg. The power of God, the pain left. And went back to the doctor, and the doctor took new x-rays and said, we don't understand it, but it looks like the bone is zipping itself up. She danced and it wasn't even fully zipped yet. But my pain is gone. God's doing the miracle. Now, how did that happen? It happened because the Lord said. The Lord said. The Lord said. And I had to get my faith in alignment with what he said. Because after all, he's the boss. Because he's the Lord. And when the Lord tells you, I've had enough, tell her she's going to dance. You don't need to know all the details. The Lord did not tell me, I'm going to touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, and I'm going to, fire's going to go all the way down and change everything. And no, just do what I tell you that doesn't make sense to the mind, and I'm going to do the rest that makes perfect sense to her being healed. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's what the Lord's going to do to you and me. Mm-hmm. Yep. Take a right. Go 3 blocks, take a left. Go 2 blocks, take a right. Now stop the car. Thank you, Lord, I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'm here. You're here. What am I doing here? See that person that's round in the corner? Tell that person I love them. They don't think that I love them because nobody's ever told them. They were praying right around the corner. Took them time to walk to meet up, but your obedience got you to the right place at the right time for the next instruction that'll save somebody's life. Because when it's all about how the Lord will bless me, we're going to miss how many others need him. I'm going to try to wrap it up with these. Said, which things also we speak, not of man's wisdom do we teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For to the natural man, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness unto him. Yeah, we've had them in here. We're praising God. They got the smirk on their face. They're mocking. They're giggling. They're texting to other people. Yeah, right. I'm in church and this crazy folks. And at first, I got so mad. And then the Lord said, no, just look at them because they don't know what you know. They haven't seen 3 dead people raised from the dead. They haven't heard my voice out loud at age 6. They haven't seen people that you've seen healed of cancer. Lame, get up and walk. People that have had a stroke down the side instantly, now no stroke. They've not seen blind eyes opened and asthma healed instantly. Babies with tubes running out everywhere get healed by Jesus. They've not seen what you have seen. And they are not discerning spiritually because if they don't know in Jesus, the Jesus that loves them, that wants to make sure that they are saved from hell, from death, and themselves, and from sin, that if they don't know, he's reaching out to them to offer them a place in the family of God. They won't know. They'll think all these things were made up until the Lord touches their heart. Because when you pray for someone's life to be touched and they see the cross of Calvary and they see what Jesus did on that cross for us in our sins and know that it was love, for God so loved the world. My dad said, some people say, you shouldn't shout like that. You shouldn't dance like that. You shouldn't believe like that. You shouldn't pray like that. You shouldn't worship like that. He said, I've only got one response. The Lord shouldn't have loved me like that. Because he loved me, I'm going to worship him. Because he loved me, I'm going to praise him. Because he loved me, I'm going to follow the Spirit. Because he loved me, I'm going to worship. Because he loved me, I'm going to reach out to others. Because he loved me, because he loved me, because he loved me. He changed my life forever. So even though the natural man don't get it, there's a revelation that comes from God. And when you receive that revelation, you'll never be the same. And you'll say, I want to know more of you, God. I want to know more of you. My wife says this, she said, anything worth acquiring is worth the price of sustaining. Anything worth acquiring is worth the price of sustaining. And then she said this, the cost of the presence of God is simply time in his presence. Would you bow your heads before the Lord? I pray that your spirit man is engaged at another level. I pray that the Spirit of God gets in your home life, in your financial life, in your mental life, even in your dreams, in your subconscious. That the Spirit of God, that no matter what the challenge, I'm listening for your voice, Lord. And I'm walking in your way, in your word. I believe you forever and a day. I believe you for the thing. I believe for others. Because, Lord, let the revelations that you've given to me manifest. There's those here that have had a revelation about 10 a.m. prayer. And they show up. I don't have to get on the phone and beg them. Would you come to 10 a.m. prayer? Would you come to 10 a.m. prayer? No, they got a revelation of what happens at 10 a.m. prayer. There's those that are here in church today. I didn't have to beg you to be at church. I didn't have to promise to take you out to some restaurant afterwards. You're here because you love God. You're not being bribed by the preacher. You're in love with Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. How many are thankful for the love you have for him and how much he loves you? Lord, I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you reveal to us even more of what you're thinking about us. Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of peace and good, and bring you to an expected end. But sweet Holy Spirit of God, you are the one that goes in, searching even the mind of God, even before he has spoken it, so that it was when it's released, we'll witness in our spirit of the goodness of God. Would you listen as they sing and meditate upon the Lord before we pray?
never be the same. Lord, I'll put the word of God in my mind, and your spirit will give it life. My mind will be renewed. I'll have the mind of Christ. I'm walking with you, the path with you. I may not understand everything, but Lord, through you revealing it, you'll know it. You'll help me know it. Oh, Rababasa. But I can look back and say, look how far you brought me from. Your love and your grace, your mercy. I'll never be the same because I'll never be what I was. I'll never return. I close the door. I will walk with God, and I will run. And I will never be the same again. Father, right now I pray for your people, those that know you on that close personal basis, that Lord, you'll take them deeper. As you go and search through those things, you'll take them into the deeper things that they'll be able to touch even more people and love more people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that every one of your people are going to become soul winners. Every one of your people are going to become deliverers. Every one of your people are going to help someone get healed. Every one of your people are going to stand for that. And Lord, I also pray for those that don't know that. They don't have a revelation of who. Just trying to get by on feelings and mind. Lord, I pray right now that they have a revelation of who you are, Jesus. Because this isn't religion. This is not man trying to get to God. This is God having come to earth to redeem us and to have a relationship with us. Lord, we're grateful for that relationship. If there be any in this place that doesn't know Jesus Christ, or any that are watching online that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now, if you would say, I believe in Jesus, that he's the Son of the living God, that he died on that third day on the cross, was raised on the third day from the tomb, and now he is risen a Savior. I believe in Jesus, and I want to give my life to him. Just repeat this after me from the depths of your heart and mean it. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner, recognizing that I cannot save myself. I am lost. I'm away from you. I don't know you, but I want to know you. I need you to help me. I give you my whole life. I ask you, Lord, forgive me of all my sin. I have done wrong. I ask you to save me by your precious blood. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life, the reservation book in heaven. Save me now. And I renounce all the things of this world. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my King. I receive you now as my Savior. Holy Spirit of God, right now, as they have received you as their Savior, we ask right now that you would administer that transforming, that conversion in the name of Jesus to make them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Do it now. That, Lord, that when they confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is their Lord, we'll know that they are saved and they'll walk a new walk and a new path as part of the family of God. We give you praise for it. And, Lord Jesus, baptize them in the Holy Ghost so they don't have to walk powerless. Baptize them right now and receive it with the evidence of speaking in tongues so they can have firepower to go forward into all the things that you have given and do it victoriously. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen and amen. Let's give God praise.